And we are starting a new series, and I want to thank you who are at home. Please take notes. Please add those notes. Thank you. Don't rely on your questions later and say, I want to ask something about that. One thing that's being brought out is people will often ask me, do our pets go to heaven? How many say yes?
Yes.
How many say no? Good. Don't say no, or I found there. So here is a cute story for you pet lovers in heaven. German Shepherd, Doberman Pinscher, and a cat went to heaven, and they all three were facing God. And God asked each of them, what do they believe? And God approached the German Shepherd, and the German Shepherd says, I believe in discipline, in training, and loyalty to my master. God says, good boy, come sit here at my right side. To the Doberman Pinscher says, well, I believe in love, care, and protection of my master. And God says, good boy, come sit here at the left side of my throne. To the cat, what do you believe? And the cat replied, I believe you're sitting in my seat. You know my affinity for felines. Well, today we're beginning, for this month, we're beginning a series, Building Useful Character. Building Useful Character. That's our series. And we're taking a look at, the main thing is, what is it that we need to build on so that God can use us? Some things we don't really quite master in order for God to use us. And every one of us want God to use us. We want our lives to matter when that day comes that we face God ourselves. And today's topic is, lo and behold, self-discipline to be useful. That is today's message. Now, I recognize the topic of self-discipline doesn't create really a lot of excitement in people. Matter of fact, it creates areas where all of a sudden there's a negative perspective about self-discipline. Why? Because it puts guilt on so many of us. Now, inherently, we all know that we should have self-discipline as a character quality, but we don't want to talk about it. Guess what? Lo and behold, today we get to talk about that. And we're going to talk about it not to put forth any form of guilt, but we long to follow Jesus. And if we're going to involve our lives with God Almighty, it will involve the character quality of self-discipline. So with that in mind, Lord, thank you for moving in our hearts today. We just settle on in so that we can have the Holy Spirit speak to us. Lord, move any form of self out of the way. Bring your kingdom upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, when I was a Bible college student, I would often hear a speaker. His name was Howard Hendricks. And I remember one time he said very specifically, he said, the more self-disciplined you are, the more God can use you. Now, I never forgot that, because I was a young person that really wanted to be used by God. So my ears were wide open, and I wanted to see and hear what he was saying. It had influenced me that very moment, and literally, I've got to say, it has impacted my life well over 30 years. Self-discipline makes the difference how God uses me. Therefore, today's message, and literally we could almost say the series, is all about, Lord, I just know you've got more for me. I just want more for me to be used by you. If you were to take a look, that character quality of self-discipline, if you see God using an individual in mighty ways over years, I would guarantee that they are a highly disciplined person. So when we take a look here, I want to explain some ways how we can approach that. I want to preface everything we're saying. I view self-discipline as freedom. Freedom. I want to highlight that freedom. Why would I even say that? Because without this quality, we become slaves to lies and untruths. We become in bondage to areas like, well, our emotions. We become slaves to our fleshly desires. So self-discipline is not a small potato for those that want to follow Jesus and be used by him. How do we go about that? Let's take a look. Number one on your notes, you can see, understand your responsibility and usefulness. Understand your responsibility. Let's take a look. What does that mean? Do we have a responsibility? Well, letter A on your notes, we are to respond to God with effort. See that word effort? I'm going to take that from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Take a look at that with me. It says this, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Take a look. Make every effort. Every effort. In other words, that word effort requires self-discipline. It implies self-discipline. Make every effort. Do I have to do something to encourage myself in the promises of God? Make every effort. There seems to be an intentionality. You're here today. It took some intention to be here today. It took some intention to be with us today. It takes effort to say, I'm going to clear away all distractions because God may speak something to me today. And it's going to benefit my friends or family. So it's all about God and me speaking. So we take a look here. Take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, 9 says, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be. See those lines there? The more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. Now we see what the Word of God is saying is very clear, but there is a dynamic between us and God in our relationship to Jesus. There is a dynamic that we need to be reminded of. We're in partnership with God. What does that look like? That's our term for this series. We are to be useful to the Lord. Now this dynamic in our relationship with Jesus must be understood, and this is how it goes. There are some things that God does all by himself. There are some things that you do all by yourself. But when we work with God, we work together in a relationship. We have a tendency to overemphasize one way or the other. I have seen well-meaning people. I believe in God, but they go about doing things on their own efforts, on their own strength, and they literally, in time, we realize, man, I have failed miserably. They didn't incorporate God. And then there are others that say, well, I'm just going to let God do his thing. Remember the old line, let go and let God? Now, there's a place for that. But we're in partnership with the Lord when doing things. So important. The example would be prayer. We know God's word says, boy, don't give up on prayer. Be consistent with your praying. Make sure you go ahead and take a look in areas that are so necessary. So when we deal with some things like prayer, we come to that point and we recognize, for example, how that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, worry about nothing, pray about everything. Now that's important for us. Pray about everything. Well, whose responsibility is it to pray? Both you and God. It's going to require that partnership to pray. It's important. So effort looks like when you pray to set aside time. I'm going to set aside time to pray every day. Also, when we deal with that, we set aside effort so that we can create a list. Those are those efforts together, joint with God. A list of what to pray for, who to pray for. We set aside efforts where we come along, and it looks like where all of a sudden, when we don't feel like praying, we're going to pray anyway so that God can meet us in our efforts, in our obedience. That's where I find God meets me. That's an example where our usefulness. So Jesus has called us into an amazing relationship with us. We so want to be transformed, and we so want to be used by God, but it will require self-discipline. Can resist both the transformation or resist being used by God. It's our choice. It really is. I find it is our choice to say, you know what, I don't want God to use me. So let's move on just a little bit. Letter B, self-discipline makes us useful to God. That partnership goes together. God and you are in agreement on things, but it requires self-discipline. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says it this way. It says, instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. When you look at something like that, training requires what? Self-discipline. Train yourself. Boy, that's a beautiful thing to remind ourselves that. I want to thank you for getting into life group. That's discipline. I'm training to come to Wednesday church and say, oh, I need to always be around anointed teaching like is being displayed on Wednesday. It's very, very encouraging for that. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. It says, in a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Now, I like when the Bible speaks to us, but please don't misunderstand me here. This has nothing to do with whether God will love you anymore or not. God loves you. That's a given. His love is unconditional. His love is holy. God's holy. That means he can't love you any more than he already does. And you couldn't be as raunchy as you possibly can to have him love you any less. He's just going to love you unconditionally. But we're talking about God using you. That's important. So when we deal with this, God's love is wonderful, but our efforts and usefulness are going to require some self-discipline. And less disciplined we are, the less God can use us. Why? Why? Well, it's so obvious at times you tell yourself, basically, it will look like this. I will say no to the lesser things in my life to say yes for the greater things in my life. You have to make those decisions. I do. So when it comes to those places, like for example, many of us have to say no to some extra sleep to say yes to going to work on time. The greater is go to work on time and don't sleep in. So when we start dealing with areas, for example, in my life, I have to say no to lesser things to set aside time weekly to create a message. I create a message, I create an outline, I work on the life group questions, I develop planning. All those things I choose to say, these are greater things and no to lesser things. And God meets me in that context. He will meet you as well. When you say no to the lesser and yes to the greater. So in dealing with that, the self-discipline is not always easy. It's not always easy. There are many times I don't want to spend the time in my office to think through things right now. I'd much rather be out there on the shoreline. There are so many more things that I could really benefit. I deserve it. But I say no, my life, I say no to the lesser things. And as God sees us grow in that self-discipline, he starts to use us. His hands hand out more, I find, of the kingdom of God upon our life. Wouldn't it be great we come in prepped to say, how, Lord, will you use me at Hope Chapel today? How many woke up saying, Lord, how are you going to use me today at church? What is it that you want me to do today? Wouldn't that be great? It would require a little more time, a little prep work going into church on Sunday, or possibly prep work to come in person at Hope Chapel. Praise God for that. Very important. So as God sees us, we grow in our self-discipline, and it's very important. Now, here are three ways I find that are very important. If this message is resonating with you and you're longing to be more used by God, here we go. These are some areas I found very, very good over the years for me. Point two, grow in mental self-discipline. Grow in mental self-discipline. Mental self-discipline is choosing what you think about. You have to make that choice. What am I going to think about? And not always allow wrong thinking to occupy your attention. Why? You know, I know, the way we think really activates our action. So we have to be careful. How do we go about making those decisions? Letter A on your notes. We must learn the difference between fleshly thoughts and the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. You have your thoughts. You're in partnership with the Spirit of God. Making that distinction, check out Romans chapter 8, verse 5, which says this. This is the ESV version, which says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit," capital S, "set their minds on the things of the Spirit." So there is actually a distinction between where we can set our minds on. So for me to know what is fleshly going on in my mind and what is the Holy Spirit trying to convey, the discipline of learning to recognize is very important. Rejecting absolutely things of the flesh is so essential, so essential. If you've never said no to those lesser things, whoa, get filled with the Spirit. Get your prayer language going on. Man, get to be a Spirit-filled man or woman or a student of God. Very important to see those things happening. Follow Jesus into a greater usefulness really begins there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 5. It says this, "For we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ." There are some thoughts we have to learn that are just downright wrong. Take them captive. Now, how can God trust us with anything of the kingdom? How can God trust us with anything if he knows that our thoughts are going to be changed over an episode or situation and leads us in a wrong direction? So it's like, Lord, I need you to help me with that. When we're constantly dragged off course because we have a wrong thought going on. So mental discipline is important. We must learn the difference between fleshly thoughts and the Spirit of God. How do you describe that? Well, let me just lay it out there. We all recognize when that fleshly thought comes into existence, and it really hovers around basically elevating self. That's a fleshly thought. We should love ourselves. The Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself, but when we are consumed with fleshly thoughts, it elevates self. It'll also have a life all about you, operating in how you feel, your ideas. It makes the center of life all about, guess who? You. Those are fleshly thoughts. Those are hard to break, but the Holy Spirit can help you. What does the Spirit of God sound like? It'll always be about how we can put Jesus first and others. And I pass that on to you, say, Lord, I want you to use me. Oh, I want you to use me. Spirit of God can help you with that. That's the difference between a fleshly thought and the Spirit of God. We serve Jesus and his purpose. How? Well, letter B, spend time in the Word of God and in the presence of God. Those two things are so significant. I discipline myself to read God's Word, and I discipline myself to be in God's presence. For me personally, those two areas influence majority of my decisions. That's how important those two ingredients are for me. I discipline my time to do this so that I can discipline my mind. I want to be used by the Lord. Oh, I want to be used by the Lord. And I have to be hearing what he has to say in his presence. Lord, I'm here today. I know what I need to get done, but is there anything, Father, you would like me to do? It's like Jesus at age 12, caught in the temple. I must be about my Father's business. Ooh, that's so awesome. That's a 12-year-old. We've got some awesome 12-year-olds like that. Let's take a look. Number three. Our mind will be influenced. But let's take a look. Number three, grow in emotional self-discipline. So emotional self-discipline, and we're not referring to not feeling anything or somehow trying to suppress any kind of emotion. That's not right, because emotions are natural. We're talking about self-discipline so that those emotions that catch us all don't lead to sin, because it does. Unchecked discipline of our emotions can lead us in wrong ways. It refers to really not allowing our emotions to go off and say or do something that's wrong. Here's a case in point in anger. Let's look here at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Ephesians 4, 26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. So there seems to be a time frame on that. But be angry. But when you're angry with that emotion, don't let it get away with you and sin. Boy, emotional discipline looks like that. That relates to anger. If I'm upset and I'm angry because of what maybe has been done or said, I want to be careful not to be mean back. I want to have self-control so that I'm not going to be doing hurtful things back or bringing gossip or areas that would cause problems. I control my emotions and my response. That's what we're talking about. I want to be used by the Lord. I don't want to create my own salvation when I'm attacked. Lord, help me. Help me with that. Our emotions do not have to dictate our behavior. So in your sadness, don't sin. In your feeling of discouragement, don't sin. When you feel devalued, put down, don't sin. It's what we're talking about here. And when you feel betrayed, oh, don't sin. Don't do that. And when you feel lonely, don't sin. When you feel attacked, don't sin. How can God give us more of the kingdom influence when we are controlled by our emotions? When we somehow have our emotions kick us off course? How can God use a person that is emotionally driven and does not have self-control there? Just think about that. So Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, fill me up and help me, because living with people can bring all kinds of emotions out of us. Praise God. Is anybody else out there like that? Three of you. Okay, good. Letter A, how do we go about developing emotional discipline? Check it out with me. Letter A, process your emotions with God first. I know the Bible says somebody sins against you, go to him, but I want to add, go to God first. Don't go to other people first. That could be fleshly. Don't go emote on social media first. That could be fleshly. We all see the fallout of that. It creates more stir. Nobody knew there was an issue. Now we've just spread it out there across the country. Be careful about that. Get into God's presence and get his perspective. Lord, why am I feeling this way? My emotions are stirring me up and driving me to go and do this. Help me, Lord. What is that? B, submit your emotions to truth. And you could see I put the Bible. That's important. When you and I feel like, you know what? My emotions want me to become unloving to that person. I want to be resentful. I'm going to gossip. I'm going to wound back. No, I'm just going to avoid them. I will never, ever talk to them. Well, what would the Bible say? how could the Bible say, you know what, there's a better way? And I found when I do it God's way, there's such a blessing that comes over. And it seems like things get remedied so much quicker. So go and do the truth first. Letter C, process with a godly person. Do you have a godly person here at Hope Chapel? Should have a pastor in your life. Everybody needs a pastor, like they should have a doctor and a dentist. But, yeah. So I want to just say, make sure you get a chance and get into a life group. Go and talk to a godly person. They're there not to somehow commiserate with you, but to help you follow Jesus. Oh, I love that. Amen. And listen, when you share things, they keep it confidential. So go to that godly person and talk to them. Go to that godly person. Call up the church. Say, hey, I need to talk with somebody because this is where I'm trafficking in my life. And then let's take a look now. Number four, grow in physical discipline. Physical discipline, I find, is very important. Why? I have discovered discipline is discipline. If I have learned to exercise and discipline my body, it affects my time to get disciplined to read the Bible or to pray. It just helps me to learn to discipline. But check out here 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. It says, so I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadowboxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. That's the Apostle Paul. Wow, that guy was ace. So it's important. Why is discipline, our physical frame, so important? Well, if you have been here with us on Church on Wednesday, the body, soul, and spirit, or mind, is so important. They work together in conjunction. So when you physically are sick or in pain, doesn't that affect how you reason or act? It affects. It really does. Your physical body really can pull the weight in one direction or another. Self-discipline physically is important. So I work out. I enjoy being healthy and in shape. I want to have an active life way into my 90s. I'm hoping Jesus comes tomorrow, though. I wouldn't have to work out, so that would be great. So it's important we get a chance to, but I've discovered discipline is discipline, and I can self-discipline to work out, helps in all these other areas. So how do we get physically self-disciplined? Here it is, letter A, find someone to grow with you in that. Whether that's walking 3 times a week, or the possibility of putting things together in a nourishing kind of regiment, very, very helpful. But have somebody with you. Letter B, create a schedule. Discipline has a lot to do with a schedule, I have found. I can work better with a schedule than I can with myself. Have you found that? So a schedule helps you work with yourself. But to just say, I'm just going to work with myself with no schedule, it's very difficult. And if you caught just that today, you're on a good track for doing something. So self-discipline, I want to let you know, is very important, especially physically. Letter C, stay at it, which means basically, if you're going to do it for any length of time, keep going. The more you do something, it becomes a habit, comes easier. Stay with it. Go with it. So be careful. Be careful. So practice mentally to self-discipline. Be careful about what you're doing in the area of emotional discipline. Physical discipline, I find, really does impact all the other areas. Very important. Remember, freedom. Freedom comes when you are self-disciplined. Why? Because if you're not, we find that we are swayed by our own emotions. Without it, we become slaves to basically just living in areas of untruths or lies. Wow. Or in bondage to just basically where we're dealing with emotions or physical desires. Watch out for that. Let's hang in there and do just that. Let's take a moment now. Let me pray with you. Father, we want to thank you for your goodness. Praise God. We've launched into a great, great series, and we're going to believe for some wonderful things ahead. So, Lord, let your goodness abound. Thank you for the way with which you're going to help us. And, Lord, as we had communion, if there are those who are among us that are saying, wow, I want to not only know that you're with me, Lord, I want to operate my life together in partnership with you. So would you just pray this simple prayer with me? It goes like this. All of us would say, Dear Jesus, I really do want to live for you. And not just live, but serve you. So Lord, help me to take the ability of self-discipline and apply it to my life. Lord, I welcome the Holy Spirit's help. That's what you're called, my helper. You're my trainer. You're my initiator. Don't ever leave me to my own thoughts, to my own demise. God is great. I am serving a great God for the glory of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet right now. Sean's going to lead us in a song as we continue to enjoy.
Your goodness is running out. It's running out to me. Your goodness is running out. It's running out to me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Honey, doesn't it feel good to be back at Hope Chapel?
Yes.
Yes, I'm telling you. It's like, oh, it's like old home week. If you weren't here last Sunday, Ainsley and I, we were in Oregon taking what we would call a fall retreat. It's just something that we do often in October with the staff. And this year, Ainsley and I chose to go it alone. And that's okay. And it was helpful for us because we plan for the holidays. We plan messages. We just sometimes recreate. But it's very important for our staff as well. Well, our staff, some of them are married now, some of them have twins. We just realized, let's just go, and we're grateful for that. We did have the Iflins kind of come for a few days, and we talked over. So I want to announce something. You might have seen, and if you're part of our newsletter, and I want to encourage our live stream audience, please sign up. Be a part of our newsletter. People are saying, what's happening at Hope Chapel? Let's get into more than a Sunday. There's so much to enjoy with the Christians here in Huntington Beach, especially here at Hope Chapel. But we are starting next Saturday an evening service. So an evening service is going to begin on the 7th of October. It's called Surfers Chapel. And so in that process of that, how did that come about? This has been in the think tank waiting on the Lord since 2020 staff retreat. When we had a staff retreat in 2020, it was actually right there in October, who was gathered in that meeting? It was naturally Zach and Kara Siflin, Sean and Megan Knight. We had Andre and Caitlin Mansour, Ainsley and myself, David and Nicolette Liu, James and Lacey Garcia. And we were just seeking God for you. 2020, it was really almost at the height. What are we going to do with this pandemic? And it started bringing us back into service with what we called the hub. But we also knew we needed a Saturday night service because so many of you are now listening and you're saying, Sundays are out of reach for me because of work schedules. So Saturday is going to start, and I've assigned Kara Sifflin to really be the brainchild behind that. I don't want to have our Sunday weekly staff work harder. So Zach and Karis and Laura Hamilton are going to be the big three that are putting that together. I'm grateful for that. What would that be? Well, you can see we're trying to develop an emphasis to reach the culture that's just been given to us in this beautiful city of downtown Huntington Beach. So we're going to trust the Lord that He gives us grace for that. If you say, well, I'm going to check it out, please do. It's what we call a soft launch. You can see we didn't kind of build momentum like, hey, here it comes, here it comes. We love you on Sunday. It's important. We want you to go out and power on Monday. But Saturday for some, it's going to look different. It's going to look unique. So I trust you to be praying for us. 6:45, what an unusual time. I think 6:45, well, that's what you get when you give people time to develop something. It's like, it's going to be great. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Right here, your church is going to be attempting to reach a young generation that you can see we really need to have the tools and the wherewithal to reach people that are not here. I've often told you that church, all churches exist for everyone who is outside the church. We exist here for those yet unreached. And we need to ask God's grace to help us with that. Karis will join me next service to give that announcement as well. So thank you for hearing that. Be praying. Matter of fact, let me pray off a blessing while I welcome the prayer wall to come forward. And if you're needing prayer, these dynamos, these men and women that come prayed up, they're going to be ready to receive you. Come down the center aisle to say, I need prayer with this. And why do we call it the prayer wall? It started with the hub in 2020. We called it the prayer wall because we were praying next to that wall over there. And we were using Matthew 18:19. If any two of you agree or ask anything of my Father, it will be done for them. Where's that Matthew 18:19? The prayer wall. Here they are. Look at these wall, these stalwarts of the faith. Thank you for today. I want to be useful to the Lord. How many of you feel God wants to use you and you're willing to just hear the adjustments necessary? Please do not listen to the voice that says, because of my physical limitation or my lack of availability or my age or my marital status or not, I can't be used of God. Those things are a lie. And Lord, we just say in Jesus' name, there's going to be a greater harvest of souls because you're going to use each one of us. And we pray now for Surfers Chapel. That, Lord, there will be a harvest of souls that have not come into this sanctuary, enjoy what we are enjoying, but you'll bring them by your Spirit. And we will welcome them with our loving embrace to say what God has done for us, He's no respecter of persons, He'll do for you. So bless Hope Chapel, their generosity to give, their generosity to serve, their giving and serving, Lord, so others can receive ministry. Bless them all as they go their way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You're dismissed. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapel
hb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.